From VOA Learning English, this is As It Is. Welcome back. I'm Katie Weaver. Today on the show, we report on political unrest in Turkey. The country has been considered a rising European economic power, and it wants to join the European Union. But the nation's longtime leader, Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan, is now battling corruption accusations that could bring down his government. Then we tell about a Christian church in southeastern Turkey that is helping ethnic Armenians rediscover their culture and their faith. Turkey, past, present, and future, on As It Is today. The Turkish government this week dismissed hundreds of police, government lawyers called prosecutors, and judges investigating reports of official corruption. Turkish Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan defended the dismissals. He has repeatedly said the corruption investigation is an attempt by judges and others in the judiciary division to overthrow his government. Christopher Cruz reports.
Tens of thousands of Turks in Ankara, the capital, demonstrated against government corruption recently. Parliament has been debating a plan that would give the government more power in naming judges and prosecutors. The opposition says the move is an effort to hide a growing corruption case against the government. Prime Minister Recep Tayyip Erdogan denied the accusation. He then accused the judiciary of attempting to overthrow the government. And he says foreign powers are to blame. Last month, Mr. Erdogan said propaganda had been launched against the government, against the state. But his opponents disagree. Gulberna Özcan is an expert in Turkish business and politics at the University of London.
Corruption has been actually increasing as the economy got bigger and more affluent. The most critical part of the current government's corruption index, so to speak, has to do with public procurements, municipal services, land planning, urban planning, and privatization.
Some political experts say the judicial dismissals target followers of a powerful conservative movement known as Hizmet. It was founded by Islamic opinion leader Fethullah Gulen, who is based in the United States. Ms. Özcan says the movement is trying to change the way wealthy people and organizations act in Turkey.
The Gulen movement have also been part of this economic reallocation through privatization, municipal real estate arrangements, planning changes, and various other opportunities. And they perhaps have been increasingly squeezed out of these big fortunes.
A healthy economy helped Mr. Erdogan win three elections, one after the other. The yearly average economic growth rate in Turkey was about 5.2% from 2000 to 2010. But Fadiha Kura, a Turkey expert at the policy research group Chatham House, says the following year, growth slowed.
Now that the pie is shrinking, each side wants to have a bigger slice of a shrinking pie, and that's generating enormous amount of feuding and disagreement between conservative forces in Turkey.
Mr. Hakura says Turkey is in what economists call a middle income or earnings trap.
What is important is productivity growth, the quality of human capital, robust state institutions, transparency, and the rule of law. And on all these criteria, Turkey is seriously lacking. Therefore, Turkey seems to be now trapped.
Gül Berna Özcan says the latest corruption accusations could lead to more economic trouble.
The rule of law is definitely in a serious danger. No one would like to invest in a country where judiciary is controlled by the government.
I'm Christopher Cruz. You are listening to As It Is. Now, we take you to the southeastern Turkish city of Diyarbakir. As Katie Weaver reports, a recently repaired church there has become a center for ethnic Armenians to renew their culture and religious beliefs.
St. Gergos Armenian Orthodox Church is in Diyarbakir's ancient neighborhood of Sur. The church was unused and in terrible condition for many years. Then, in 2012, the church was repaired and returned to its former beauty. Hundreds of people attended a celebration of the church and the saint it was named for in September. The church does not yet have a permanent leader or priest, but it does have a caretaker, Armin Demirchian. He says St. Gergos is already an important representation of ethnic Armenian identity.
It means everything to me. It's our history. It's our culture, and it's our legacy. It's the gift of our ancestors to us. As an Armenian, I can see myself here. I was raised as a Kurd. I knew nothing of my Armenian identity.
Mr. Demirchian's family history is not uncommon. His father was an only child. His parents were killed in mass ethnic killings by Turkey's rulers during World War I, when he was just a boy. He was then raised by a local family as a Muslim. Some ethnic Armenians are now becoming Christians. Melike Gunal goes to St. Gergos often. She says for years she hid her identity. But she says the church's reopening helped her publicly admit her identity and faith.
I come here 3 or 4 times a week to light a candle. Even before, when there was no roof, I would come here and sit and cry. But now there is a roof and it's restored. It's so special for me.
Ms. Gunal's father was a political activist. He was killed in the Turkish government's war against the Kurdish rebel group PKK. But Melike Gunal says it was the Kurdish fight for greater minority rights that gave ethnic Armenians the right to declare their identity. Abdullah Demibash is the mayor of Sur and a member of the pro-Kurdish party, BDP. He gave $600,000 of public money to help pay for the church's repair. He says the help was linked to a policy that supports the mix of ethnic groups.
In past years, the state wanted to turn this area into a single Turkish Muslim identity by not only suppressing Kurds, but all these communities, all these religions and languages. We want to show this diversity can live together.
And that's As It Is for today. I'm Katie Weaver. Thanks for joining us.